on digital and online.
This is BBC Radio 5 Live.
bbc.co.uk/5live.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Wittertainment Christmas Quiz. That's what we have here. Let me introduce you to our team members. From Radio 4's front row, Mark Lawson.
Hey!
From Heat Magazine and half of Boyd and Floyd, that's Boyd Hilton. From In the Loop and the Thick of It, Joanna Scanlon. And the other half of Boyd and Floyd, that's Nigel Floyd. Now, word on team captains. Hugh Bonneville sent his apologies. He is snowed in. So please welcome the man who is Truman Capote, Karl Rove, and most importantly, Dobby the house elf, Toby Jones.
Hey!
David Morrissey also sends his apologies. He's had a bereavement in the family and he can't be with us. Now, clearly, that means we've only got one team captain, and Boyd and Mark are sitting either side of a cardboard cutout of Jason Isaacs.
A very fetching cardboard cutout of Jason Isaacs with his tash.
That's right, from...
From Skeletons, one of my favourite films of the year.
More of which next week.
Thank you.
But it just seems to us that, I mean, it's not fair, apart from anything else. Two people and a cardboard cutout doesn't equal three people on the other team.
I'm not sure.
Is that right, Tony? Okay,
let's
so what I, see. What I think, what I it's sort of the pantomime season. So what I was wondering is if we could work some Wittertainment panto festive magic.
With the cardboard cutout.
And if we all said hello Jason Isaacs to the cardboard
It'll
cutout.
Still be a cardboard cutout, I'm sorry.
Okay. So maybe if we could all, maybe, you know, wishes come true. On this day of days. How's this working?
It's not coming true, he's abroad. I'm just telling you.
So ladies and gentlemen, after three please, let's just look at the cardboard cutout. And you at home, if you could just imagine a cardboard cutout, if you could say, hello, Jason Isaacs, after three, and then maybe our Christmas wish might come true. One, two, three.
Hello, Jason Isaacs!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Jason Isaacs!
Hello, everyone. Hello, those lovely people who got married and mentioned my name at your wedding, which is so surreal for me. I can't tell you. I put a suit on, Mark, and a bit of pomade in honour of you, and you turned up looking like a tramp.
That's right. That's partly because you're meant to be in Iceland.
I was meant to be in Lapland with my children, meeting Santa, but
you just were snowed off.
Lapland came to London instead.
Is it really you?
No, I was going to do Dave in a very deep Liverpool accent, a little bit throwaway like that. And be, well, he's just bigger and sexier and cooler than me, so there's no point, is there? Hello, Dave. Sorry.
That's okay. So it's him. It really is him.
So I'm not the bloke that they say hello to, because that's a strange, surreal monster that's out there in the ether. I'm just an ordinary man with trousers slightly too tight, actually, at Christmas. Yeah, I don't. I shouldn't have put this suit on, but that's another thing.
Okay, so we have our team. So let's go ahead then with our first round, which is called They Said What. In the very few weeks in 2010 when Jason wasn't on the show, other guests were allowed on.
I've got no films coming out next year. I had too many this year. I apologise.
Here are some questions based on the appearances of those other guests.
Oh, should the teams
can
test
just
their
clarify
buzzers?
Clarify the buzzer issue.
Where is
here?
The buzzer?
Yes. Where is the buzzer?
It's in front of them. Ooh. They've got a button. They press a button.
Nigel, have you got one?
I'm sorry, I didn't go to Oxbridge, Mark, so I'm not familiar with the...
Have you got a buzzer?
Yeah, Cannon, Cambridge.
Does anything count?
Yeah, I can hear that.
This one?
Yeah.
It's there, yep.
This is going to be really a great sequence, you know.
Come on.
It's got a delay.
Boys playing with buzzers.
It's got about a 3-second delay.
Yeah, there's a big, big delay.
In case we swear,
big
I think.
Delay. It's not like QI, is it?
The entertaining buzzer round, where everyone presses their button because they've never seen one before. Are we all over the excitement of having a buzzer? First of all, The Social Network was one of the big films of 2010. The story of the origins of Facebook and its founder, Mark Zuckerberg. When acclaimed screenwriter Aaron Sorkin joined us on the programme, he told us the beauty of Zuckerberg's invention is that it enables you to reinvent yourself and effectively become someone else. But did Aaron Sorkin say he'd be happy for everyone to really think he's A, George Clooney in Ocean's 11, B, Rob Lowe in The West Wing, or C, Brad Pitt in Thelma and Louise? That's Jason.
Oh.
No, sorry, it's twitching. I know the answer. Sorry. I think it was Rob Lowe in The West Wing, since that's what he wrote.
Rob Lowe, you say, Jason?
Thanks very much.
Let's just find out if you're right.
Mark Zuckerberg invented something he needed, and what he invented was a brand new way to socialize. I can identify with this. I would be very happy being in a room by myself, writing a scene, slipping it under the door, and just have somebody slip a meal back for me, and have everyone think that I'm Rob Lowe on the West Wing.
There you go. Points for Jeff.
That's all right.
Right, question number two. Made in Dagenham, the story of the striking Ford workers in the 1960s, clearly one of the best films of the year, not seen by enough people. If you didn't go and see it, shame on you. If you did, well done, go and see it again.
Stick to the script.
Well, that is the script. It's a very, very important. It's a wonderful film. Anyway, Steve Woolley came on the programme several times. And Steve Woolley was particularly excited about the certificate that he got for Made in Dagenham. There was something that he refused to take out of the film in order to get 12 certificate rather than 15 certificate. Was it A...
Toby.
Swearing.
Was it A, 15 F words, B, 4 or 5 C words, or D, a shot of someone's naked bum?
That's Boyd.
A, the 15 F words.
Is the correct answer. Well done.
Boyd helped me on the points. Let's just hear that moment again.
You must have been given the option of dubbing.
Well, we have the option of taking them out, but it would have been crazy. It would have been denying the truth of the film. And I'm not going to start taking out, like, 15 F-words and to have a 12A. I mean, the point of this movie is that we wanted as wide an audience to see it as possible. We don't really want to doctor the movie. That would be really... I mean, I've never done it before. I refuse to take Ralph Fiennes' buttocks out of End of the Affair for the sake of...
Which got you an 18 rather than a 15.
Yeah, and they changed the law after that.
A splendid clip and points being allocated appropriately.
Can I just say, I'm going to give Toby a point anyway for leaping in and saying swearing, which I thought was yeah. It was the correct answer. I mean, the technical correct answer was given by Boy, but I'm keeping score, so well done, both of you. Well done, both sides.
So another of Stephen Woolley's films this year was gangster movie Perrier's Bounty. There's quite a lot of cussing in that, as I remember.
There was a massive amount of cussing in that, yes.
In fact, he's probably responsible for more cussing this year than anyone else.
He is cuss-tastic.
With an all-star cast featuring Brendan Gleeson, Cillian Murphy and Jim Broadbent. In the film, Jim Broadbent's character has a disturbing habit, as fellow cast member Jodie Whittaker explained to us. But what is it? Is it? He picks his teeth with a specially grown long fingernail. He loudly clears his nostrils one after another in the manner of a footballer. Or he munches merrily on coffee granules. Toby.
Coffee granules.
Why did you say that? Did you see the film?
I didn't, but I heard it on your show. That's what he did.
Bonus points. 3 points. Well done. Yes, marvellous.
And this was the clip. This was the clip that Toby heard.
It really is revolting.
It is revolting. He sits with a jar of coffee, just ground granules, no water, no milk, no sugar, and just continually tips it into his mouth and chews it to try and get an instant caffeine hit. And, I mean, he wasn't that method. It was a crushed-up biscuit. It was chocolate biscuit.
Best film of the year, clearly, Inception, directed by Christopher Nolan. Cillian Murphy came on the programme to talk about Inception, and we were asking him to explain the plot and exactly what he did in it. Did Cillian Murphy say that he was A, the Mark in the movie, B, the Simon in the movie, or C, the Jason Isaacs in the movie? Anyone.
And that's Jason Isaacs.
I watched it last night. I'm jet-lagged. I'll just come back from somewhere. I watched it from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock this morning, and I would say he's the Mark, surely.
Shall we hear the clip?
So, Frank, I think it's fair enough to say that my character would be the Mark in the movie if we were to say it, if we were to use the language of a heist movie.
But just explain what that means.
So, like in a traditional heist movie, the Mark is like the guy who's the subject of the con of the.
You know, like Robert Shaw in The Sting.
There you go. Yeah.
Very correct. Very good points. This is Nigel Floyd's solo question. Nigel, are you ready for this? Renowned hard man Russell Crowe was in fighting form when he told us. Wasn't he, Mark? When he told us about taking on the role of Robin Hood this year. But how did he explain to us that despite his tough guy image, he's really just a big softy at heart? Did he say, A, he's into poetry, writes songs and wears makeup for a living? Did he say, B, he's kind to animals? Or C, he cries when he watches weepy movies?
I'm going for A there, because I think he was probably being ironic.
OK, here's the clip.
You know, the funny thing about the way that I'm... portrayed in the media here is that, you know, just hard man sort of, just let's focus on this for a second. You know, I'm into poetry, I write songs, and I wear makeup for a living.
Excellent.
This is not the habits and behaviour of a hard man.
There you go. You're absolutely spot on. So there's top points there for Mr. Floyd.
OK, next question. Acclaimed director and longtime Crystal Palace fan Paul Greengross is a friend of the programme. He told us about his Iraq-based WMD thriller Green Zone in March this year, but how did I describe Paul in that particular interview? Was it A, the Steve Coppell of Southern California, B, the Simon Jordan of Hollywood, or C, the Alan Pardew of Beverly Hills? Do you want those options again?
Okay.
Let's throw it over to...
Or Jason is...
Well, no, throw it open to the crowd.
Right, to the audience, was it A, the Steve Coppell of Southern California, B, the Simon Jordan of Hollywood, or C, the Alan Pardew of Beverly Hills? B, the audience get 1 point. Well done. Should we hear it?
Who gave you that line? Because you would have no idea.
You know nothing about football, though.
No, I know. That was the gag. The gag was that Simon was saying in my head, ask him if he is this, and I was saying words that meant nothing to me. It was like being demonically possessed by Simon. It was really interesting. Can we have the clip? I think there's a political parable in that, don't you?
Are you trying to tell me this is the Crystal Palace of big movies this summer?
You know, Paul, far be it from me to say anything related to football, but, you know, do you think perhaps, you know, are you the Simon Jordan of the Hollywood world at the moment? Is that...
Oh, no!
Touché!
Oh, that is terrible. I think that's called revenge.
That's very good. You're always good to hear Paul Greengrass going, oh, gosh.
I just like to say, I still don't understand the joke.
That's fine.
I still don't know what it means.
Hey, still doesn't matter. OK, that's the end of that round. Mark, what are the scores?
The scores at the end of that round, Jason's team have 5 points, but Toby's team have 7 points.
Wow, there you go. They're in the lead. Now, next around, where we have taken two of Mark's reviews and mixed them together in what young people call a mash-up and what old people call two things chopped up a bit. Can you work out which movies are being reviewed here? And this first one is for Jason's team.
Essentially, what you've got here is a problem of what the movie is and what it isn't. Okay, now, the things that it's been compared to are, they've said, well, like, it's Batman Begins in that it takes the story back to its origins. You know, it makes it darker and edgier and, you know, therefore more violent. It has a very bleak, very dark, very portentous, very, I mean, you know, even potentially Bergman-esque look about it. I mean, it is most significant that he's on screen for quite a long time with Max von Sydow, who is Swedish and is actually more convincing in his slightly northern English accent. It has to have a consistency. It has to have an inner rhythm. It has to have a central, recognisable tune. And I think that the fact that it doesn't is a very big problem.
There were two films in there. Nice to hear the word Bergman-esque being used for the second time in one show. Which were the two movies being reviewed there?
It's our friend Russell, isn't it?
Yes, yeah. It's Robin von O'Hood. and HP7 Part 1A Alpha.
Which is completely correct. So the only thing wrong with HP71A is that you're not in it enough, Jason, but I'm sure we can fix that.
But then the grown-ups tend not to be.
Yeah, I saw Tim Spall at the party, and he said, it's weird people congratulating you, isn't it? And I said, oh, no, I've only got a few lines. He went, few lines? I'd have killed for a few lines. I've got a silver glove, mate. That's all I got.
OK, Toby's team, here is your mashup. There are two films being reviewed here. Can you work out which the movies are?
One of the joys of the film is the sense of being lost in it, which is why that line about, I'm sorry, whose subconscious are we in at the moment, is funny, because you do get that sense of, I'm just as lost as they are. It may well be that if you're very familiar with the subject matter, with the comic strip, you know exactly where you are. I spent an awful lot going, what kind of film is this? On the one hand, there are broadly bawdy comic elements which are played almost as slapstick humour. On the other hand, there are elements which do with death and grief and cheating, which sit very awkwardly alongside the sort of bawdy comic elements. I just can't remember the last time I saw that level of visual indulgence tied to a script which was clever. And I don't mean clever, I mean clever. I mean, there is a difference between clever and clever. It had that British picturesque quality written all the way through it, albeit in a sort of slightly, oh, actually, we're making a British class satire, you know, satirical movie. It's undermining that lovely view of British country life, and yet it isn't really.
So, Nigel, Toby, Joanna.
Well, we thought there might have been a reference to Inception.
Toby, you don't have to buzz when it's your round.
It's alive, yes. We thought perhaps there was a reference to Inception there, and then we moved on to Scott Pilgrim versus the World, and then we moved on to Kick-Ass, and then he said it was a British movie, and then we lost it.
Downton Abbey?
No,
but it's a good...
Inception, you're right on. Inception, you're right on. So no idea what the smug, parochial British movie based on a comic... Over to Jason's team.
I believe it's Tomorrow Dream.
And you'd be correct. It is indeed Tomorrow Dream. So a point each.
Okay, the next one I think we're going to give to the audience to work out. So audience, an important point. If you outscore the teams, by the way, Mark will buy you a drink. Okay.
Yeah, so at the moment it's Jason 7, Toby 8, audience 1.
Okay.
So they're going to have a hard...
There are 10 points available.
10 points in this question.
5 points for each film. Audience, can you work out which two films are being reviewed here?
They've got money coming out of their ears. Another one is a woman who is a mother who has a full-time nanny assistant, but who still finds time to go and cry in the food cupboard because she's so oppressed by having to do the childcare, and the child puts jammy hands on her vintage skirt. And we're meant to sympathise. And then, the next thing you know, you're drinking flaming tumblers of Sambuca with him, and he's telling you to, and I'm not making this bit up, he's telling you to go off with him on a 3-day trip to an island populated only by parrots. Right? This is the plot. And so you're going, I can't believe you've just done this. You've gone, you stinkingly wealthy consumerist dripping with gold shoes, bloody, bloody, blah. He doesn't have enough money to go into work, and what you've seen in this isn't horrible, staggering inequality of just corpulent, filthy lucre, but, oh yes, we both have the same issue, which is to do with being apart from our loved one. You know, I went to Italy, and I noticed that they all speak with their hands.
You don't need to
say
it again.
Really? It's unbelievable that you've had the insight. It's like your third eye has been opened up, and you've noticed that in Italy, people speak with their hands. Yes. It is consumerist pornography. It is an orgy of dripping... You know, just dripping wealth that made me want to be sick. And actually what would have been really great is that at the end of the film, what the person had learned was, you know what? There is nothing but fear, desperation and murder. I mean, actually, the last thing that should have happened, the last thing was she goes back to America, she goes to Hollywood, and Werner Herzog tells her that there is no God. The end.
Two films being reviewed there. In that mashup, who wants to identify the first one? Just shout it out. Sex and the City 2. You spotted that, did you? One of Mark's favourites. Sex and the City 2 was one. That's so 5 points. And for the other film?
Eat, Pray, Love, Vomit
is the right answer. Audience, you have your 10 points. You're in the lead.
Now, this round is called Lost in Translation, or Laughing at Foreigners, if you will. You have to guess the films from the translations of the names they were given in other countries. It's a fingers-on-buzzers round. Team, audience, feel free to join in. I don't know you don't have a buzzer, you just have a Quality Street rapper. If you just rustle the Quality Street rapper, that will count. So, you have to tell us the names of the films. We're going to give you the translation. So, first of all, we're in China with these three. Mr. Cat Poop. What film is that? Mr. Cat.
No, yes. That was on the podcast.
You want a buzzer?
Sorry, that was on the podcast.
Jason Isaacs.
As good as it gets.
Well, listen to the show. I know it's an
Yeah, it is.
Help myself.
Well done, Jason. You're quite right. Points help. For Jason Isaacs.
When they say hello to you, do you say hello back?
Well, I used to. They don't say hello anymore. They now refer to bizarre events around the world, like your fabulous wedding. But I used to say hello back. I've said hello back from very peculiar places where I shouldn't be, in hospitals and in a concentration camp at one totally inappropriate moment, and and in a Graham King workshop at some point, which was also poor, since he's one of the biggest producers in the world. I shouldn't have been listening to you on the podcast. And the other day, I said hello from Los Angeles Airport, and somebody looked at me like I should be arrested, and I had something, a bomb in my luggage.
Well, I hear that the tension of Harry Potter 7A is being completely blown by the fact that Lucius Malfoy comes on screen, and everyone goes, hello, Jason.
No, but I can tell you this, when people do come up and say, do you mind if I say hello, Jason Isaacs? It's good, because I have a terrible memory. When people walk up in the street and go, hello, I think I know them, and I fling my arms around. Sometimes too vociferously, like an actor, I kiss them on both cheeks, and they go, I just wanted to say I liked you very much in that programme last week. If they say hello, Jason and Isaacs, I think, oh, it's good, they know me from the podcast. They're not friends of mine.
Right, moving swiftly on. In Germany now, which film in Germany is known as The Urban Neurotic?
That's Jason.
Woody Allen. Something Woody Allen-ish?
Yes.
Go on.
Yes. Which one, though? Which
Oh, it's Danny Dyer. Sorry.
Yeah,
well, that's funny. Good one. It's Annie Hall.
Well done. It is indeed Annie Hall, known in Germany and rather over literally as the urban neurotic.
And now from Israel, fingers on buzzers. Which film is this? The Gun Died Laughing. The Gun Died Laughing.
The clue in this case is particularly in the title. The Gun and the Laughing.
Oh, it's in the title, is it? It's not in the footwear.
The title being All You've Got to Go On Here.
Yes. Yes. The Gun Died Laughing. Going once... Yes,
That's Joanna.
Is it some kind of Clint Eastwood movie?
No.
Toby.
Naked Gun.
Yes, right. Good man. Well done. Bonus points. From Italy, this particular gem. If you leave me, I delete you.
Oh, Sleepless in...
Mark Lawson.
No, it's one of those computer films. You've Got Mail.
No, but I can see why. Toby?
Sleepless in Seattle?
No, that's because Mark started saying it. Well done for leaping in. If you leave me, I delete you.
The Social Network.
And that's Mark Lawson speaking before the buzzer, so he loses points. Okay.
And also losing points for it not being The Social Network.
No, I think I'm bored with that one now.
If You Leave Me, I Delete You is the Italian title of The Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Oh. From France, this translation, The Secret... is in the sauce. What film is that?
Sauce, S-A-U-C-E, not...
In the, Nigel.
Ratatouille?
No, but a good call.
Good, yes. Joanna.
Goodfellas.
No, but actually a better guess than the one. Yes, that's good. Definitely a point for that.
It should be that. Anyone else want to go? The Secret is in the sauce.
It's an older movie. It's from over 10... Soylent Green, it should be, really, shouldn't it? It's people, but the secret's in the sauce.
It's fried green tomatoes.
At the Whistler's Club Cafe. Also from France, rather too literally, Mum, I Missed the Plane. Mum. Oh.
Jason.
Home Alone.
Yes.
Yeah, Christmas classic.
Well done.
This one, we're still in France. This is extraordinary. The Young People Who Traverse Dimensions While Wearing Sunglasses. This has got to be not true. And that's Nigel.
Bill and Ted?
No, but a good call, not Bill and Ted.
Young People... Mark. Wait.
The Matrix.
Yes.
It is The Matrix. Short, pithy, strong title. Looks good on the poster or on a T-shirt.
What shall we call it? Le Matrix or Le People Jeune Who Traverse the Dimensions Avec Le Glace de la Songe? What? I don't know. It's one you think better.
Oh, you're trying to stop people from seeing it, weren't they? They're being French about it. I don't want people to see this film. I call it something rubbish.
Okay, from Peru, and my favourite of the evening, Slightly Pregnant. Slightly Pregnant.
Jason.
Knocked Up?
Yes, well done.
No, you had the heckle of 9.5 weeks from the audience. So, points for the audience.
Take that one off the audience there. It's a 12.
And finally, Mark.
Finally, from Argentina. Actually, this is my favourite. Vaseline.
And that's Joanna.
Greece. Surely.
You can't. Jason Isaac heckling.
It's a very similar sounding puzzle.
Four. Joanna says...
Greece.
Is the right answer.
Well done.
Okay, we've got the news and sport coming up, but as we take a break, Mark, just remind us of the scores with a lot at stake.
Well, it's been a difficult round. Jason's team have slipped back 13 points, Toby's team 14 points. The audience, after a little bit of heckling, 13 points. So you're neck and neck with the audience. You guys are soaring ahead.
Applaud the audience. Applaud themselves. Applaud the teams. Welcome back. It's the Wittertainment Christmas Eve quiz. On our teams, we have Jason Isaacs, Toby Jones, Mark Lawson, Boyd Hilton, Joanna Scanlon, and Nigel Floyd. We have a musical round coming next. This is because we have the Dodge Brothers, ladies and gentlemen. They're ready to play. They are ready to go. And they are going to be playing a selection of tunes in a skiffle style. These are soundtrack, classic soundtrack themes. All you have to do, team, is to buzz in as soon as you can recognise which the theme is, which might be slightly more difficult than you imagine. OK, Dodge Brothers, let's have theme number one.
Thank you.
Okay. At last, we got a buzzer. Mark Lawson has buzzed.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
I think they're all going to sound like Spaghetti Western.
Anyone in the audience know? Pirates of the Caribbean is right. Absolutely right. Pirates of the Caribbean. 5 more points to the audience. It's a sound thing, Mark. If you're out there, it's a lot clearer. The instruments are just more differentiated. Here, it's a bit of a mess.
Can I just say how much it pained me?
OK, Pirates of the Caribbean was number one. And here we go with mystery theme number two. Okay, Nigel Floyd is buzzed.
I'm sorry, Simon, was that the same song again?
Pretty much. But it was had the notes in a slightly different order.
I have no answer, I just
okay. Anyone in the audience? Yes, sir.
Dr. Zhivago
is right. The points to the audience. Dr. Zhivago is right. Here's our next mystery theme.
There's a girl in the second row. I just can't quite. Just one more time. No, talk amongst yourselves. Yes!
Yes! Yes! Right. Terminator is right for the point. Very good.
Do I get that or not?
No. Yeah. Jason gets 1 point and the audience get 10.
Okay.
What was it?
It was Terminator. Duh. Okay, here comes our next very exciting theme. Yeah, that's Toby Jones.
Is it The Exorcist?
Yeah! No. Yes, the most overrated film of all time is indeed The Exorcist. That was very good. Okay, was it me miming the Glockenspiel in xylophone? Okay, yes, points being awarded.
By what unholy pact with the devil did you work that one out? They all sound like the Sergio Leone songbook to us. We keep going, this one's the good, the bad and the ugly.
I'll tell you, good, the bad and the ugly is not on there.
Okay,
here's our next very exciting theme. Joanna speaks.
Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters is right. 15 points for Joanna. Excellent, very good. High scoring round so far. The Dodge Brothers play another mystery theme.
High Noon.
No, keep going. Magnificent Seven is right. Very good. You split the points between you. Toby gets 5 and the audience get 5. That's the way it goes. Many, many more themes. No,
it's
all right.
Just a couple more. For us.
Okay, this one's going to be very, very exciting. I know. Here's it.
Thank you.
Jason Isaacs.
What the hell was that mime you were doing? Either it's swimming, in which case it's Jaws, or it's someone crawling across the desert for water. Bigger than that, it's a planet. It's the birth of life itself.
Bigger than a shark.
Bigger than a shark, it's a whale. Bigger than a whale.
Bigger than a whale.
King Kong.
Ooh, Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park is right.
What I was about to say.
What were you going to say, Jason?
Jurassic
Park is right. Obviously bigger than a whale. I mean, obviously, what else could it be?
It's not a great radio moment, but this was the mime from Jurassic Park. Could be Michael Phelps in the Olympics.
Actor, you're sitting down. You're sitting down. Well, now act
oddly,
T-Rex.
You're acting large hands, but T-Rex had small hands. And a big mouth.
That was a masterclass. Toby, anything to add there?
I don't do raptors.
Yeah. So, Jason, if I'd done this... You would have got it, would you?
I'm not quite sure. We'll never know.
We won't. Okay, let's... I'm in the mood for another one. Come on, boys. Prompting.
Once again.
It could well be the YMCA village people being acted out in the audience. Jason has buzzed.
No, once again, the noise was drowning out the audience who were trying to help me. It looked like you're doing AT&T, but that's an American phone company.
Joanna has buzzed. You haven't got an answer, Joanna? Oh.
The AT.
That's the end of that round. And although Mark was keeping score, I can say that Jason's team has 5 points, Toby has 5, and the audience has 103. Now we come to a round called speeches. These are speeches from classic films, easily recognised, unless performed in a different accent to the one you'd expect. This is a captain's round. They will take it in turns to choose a card from a little pile that we have here with a speech on it, and they will recite this speech to their team, but in an accent chosen by the audience. Okay. So, Toby, it's your team to go first. Toby, do you want to come up and choose one of these speeches? And audience, could you suggest an accent for this speech to be delivered in?
James Earl Jones, who said that?
Truman Capote, I heard. This is kind of unfair to... Toby, are you prepared to do that, or shall we come up with some, you know, something else like French?
Oh, God, that's a hard choice. I'm just trying to remember it. It's a... It's a funny business, a women's career. The things you drop on... Oh, dear. You drop on your way up the ladder so you can move faster. You forget you'll need them again when you get back to being a woman. That's one career all females have in common, whether we like it or not, being a woman. So now we're going into the Carol Channing or something. Sooner or later, we've got to work at it. No matter what, how many other careers we've had or wanted. And in the last analysis, nothing's any good unless you can look up just before dinner or turn around in bed. And then there he is. What's this mean? Without that, you're not a woman. You're something with a French provincial office or a book full of clippings.
Thank you. Ah, very good. The buzzer came from Boyd, but we'll give it to Toby's team, first of all, to come up to have a go at that.
I think it's Betty Davis saying something, but...
It is Betty Davis saying something, yes.
But I don't know which film it's from.
The Goonies, in that case, probably.
All About Eve.
Yeah.
All About Eve is right. Margot Channing, played by Betty Davis, is right for the point.
No more.
Okay, Jason, choose a classic speech.
No, there's no small ones. All the same size.
Okay, we need an accent, please, for Jason to do this in.
Aboriginal.
Danny Dyer.
Free Dyer.
No, do it as Danny Dyer.
No, don't do it.
Go on.
Russell Crowe was the first accent.
Oh, blimey. Where's Danny?
That means you can choose any accent.
The haircut man. All hairdressers are in the employment of the government. Yes. In the area. They pick out signals from the commons, cosmos, and transmit them directly into the brain. This is the reason bald-headed men are uptight. Oh, you're getting dizzy. Or you're hanging on to a rising balloon. Presented with a difficult decision, let go before it's too late, or hang on and keep getting higher. Posing the question, how long can you keep a grip on the rope? They're selling hippie wigs in Woolworths, man. The greatest decade in the history of mankind is over, and as presuming Ed here has so consistently pointed out, we failed to paint it black.
Jason Isaacs. Okay, so now it's down to your team to name that film.
We have no idea at all. Can you do a bit more?
I'll do it a bit closer to the original. Hold on. I don't advise a haircut, man. All hairdressers are in the employment of the government. Hairs are aerials. They pick up signals from the cosmos. They transmit them directly into the brain.
Ah. Okay, Mark.
With
Nail and I. With Nail and I is the right answer, of course.
I hope Russell's in the whole Christmas spirit of it all.
For those of you who want to know what that would have sounded like if it was acted by Danny Dyer, I don't know if I can, man. Oh, it just also unemployed. I'm a government.
Which brings us to our fight. We've got one more round coming up, ladies and gentlemen. It's all very finely poised. Who is going to walk away with a round of drinks? We should say, by the way, that the losing team has to sing a Christmas song chosen by the winning team. And everyone else is going to join in. And Mark buys a round for the winning team, which is, if it's the audience, that's going
to
be expensive.
Would you like to know how the scores are looking at the moment, Sam?
Yes, remind us.
In my Anthea Redfern role, that's pretty much all I've had to do.
Well, go on then, tell us.
The scores, as read by Danny Dot. Oh! Jason's team got 17, but Tommy's team got 80, but the audience is ahead with 23.
Whatever that was. So we finish with the inevitable taglines round. We're going to give you a tagline. You have to name the film. It's fingers on buzzers, teams. First of all, so tagline, you buzz if you know the film. You don't get to 500 million friends without making a few enemies.
Social network. Social network.
Correct. Well done, Mark.
He didn't buzz, though.
He didn't buzz.
No. It's not working. It's not working.
Try again. Mark Lawson.
Social network.
Social network is right.
It will come out in the editing. Yeah, I need to look at it because I can't see it otherwise.
Queenie hissy fit.
Can I tell you why we all like this show and the podcast? It's not really the film reviewing, although it's very good. It's because we work out a lot of our relationship issues watching the two. So my wife and I pore over how you handle your dysfunction, and it's been very useful, so thanks very much.
How are you getting on with your wife at the moment?
Very good, thanks. Well, until she hears this, obviously.
Okay, moving swiftly on. Taglines. This film is about madness and sanity, fantasy and reality, death and life, and here's the giveaway, vice and versa.
It's a rubbish tagline.
It's vice and versa.
Yeah, okay.
Miami Vice.
Is it a prostitute?
Miami Vice.
No.
Shutter Island?
No.
Vice versa.
Not from this year, from something like 1969.
What? Oh.
Yes, well done. One to the audience. Performance,
that's
it
right,
is indeed.
Because everyone knows that. That's right. Or actually one person knows it. Next tagline. Your buzzers are working now. There is no plan B. Toby.
Is it the A-Team?
It is the A-Team.
The A-Team.
Yes.
Well done.
A straightforward answer. Excellent. Where it says Mark.
Yes, I know. 1968. It's a man's world, but not for long.
Made in Dagenham.
Mark Lawson.
Mark Lawson.
Absolutely right with the points. Made in Dagenham is right. Next tagline. The end begins. Ooh, Jason Isaacs.
That was completely involuntary twitch of my thumb. I could not
if I name names till I died.
Can I stop?
Oh, yes, no, wrong. Harry Potter Part 7 Alpha A1. Yeah.
Yes, well yes. done. That you're in.
Yeah. yeah.
With the posters all over yeah. everywhere.
But it looks
that
embarrassing.
Says, the end begins.
If you're in the film and you slow down to look at a poster, it looks very tacky, so I don't do it.
Can men and women be friends, or does sex always get in the way?
When Harry met
Toby.
Yeah, Sex and the City 2.
Well, Toby's answer is the one we have to take because he pressed his buzzer. But I heard Joanna also say...
When Harry Met Sally.
When Harry Met Sally is correct.
Which is the right answer.
Well, so
extra bonus points. Thank
you.
Titans will clash. and that's Boyd.
Clash of the Titans.
Yes, Clash of the Titans. As we've commented many times, a slightly misleading tagline because they do not clash and there are no titans.
From this year, the breakout comedy of the summer. The clue's in the word breakout.
A breakout?
Yeah. Ask the audience if you're stuck, teams.
What are they breaking that from?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Well done, audience. It is indeed Toy Story 3.
Okay. Your mind is the scene of the crime.
Yes.
Jason Isaacs buzzes.
Well, I was going to say Inception. It is, yeah. And so that's what I'll say.
yeah.
Inception.
It's correct.
Life is one long, insane trip. Some people just have better directions. Jason.
Ooh, I'm just lightly stroking it. I'm barely
stroking it.
Toby. Is that due date?
Is it the...
No.
Is it the Howard Marks movie, that movie?
Oh. No, although that's a good guess.
Is it nice. Fear and Loathing on the Road to Las Vegas?
No, it isn't. Again, another good guess. Not from this year. Life is one long, insane trip. Some people just have better directions. Here's a musical clue. It's a very, very mad world.
Oh.
Donnie Darko
is right. Well done.
Cool. Next tagline. It's nothing personal.
Oh.
Toby.
Terminator.
Terminator 2, Judgment Day is right. Yes, Mark, there. Yeah.
Nothing on earth could come between them.
Oh.
Nothing on earth could come between them.
Is it Clash of the Titanic?
It is indeed Clash of the Titanic. My favourite line in Clash
now,
of the
Titanic. That was a good mime, you see.
It was very
I
good.
I got both Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio and an iceberg. Thank
My
you.
My favourite line in Clash of the Titanic is that bit where she goes, I'll never let go! And then she does.
That's strong.
If he's crazy, what does that make you? If he's crazy, what does that make you?
Mm. Oh. Or,
Joanna.
Is it analyse this or analyse that?
No, it's one kind of area.
Nice.
But not funny.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's
Nest.
Yes,
oh, well done.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest is right.
Don't give away. This is genuine. Don't give away the ending. It's the only one we have.
It's not Full Monty then.
Not Full Monty. Don't give away the ending. It's the only one we have. A film which celebrated its 50th anniversary this year.
Psycho.
Yes. What? The audience get 5 points. Toby gets 5 points. Well done, even though you didn't buzz.
Okay. Fine.
The Ultimate Trip. Boyd Hilton.
2001 A Space
Well
Odyssey.
Done.
Very good. That last minute cramming, Boyd. I knew it would come in there somewhere.
And finally, Jaws Will Drop.
Oh. Joanna. Oh.
Jaws 2 or 3 or 4.
No, Jaws 2 was This Time It's Personal. Or was that the... No, Jaws 2 was In All the Ocean, How Could There Only Be One. Jaws 3, The Revenge was This Time It's Personal. Or was that Jaws 4?
Very good.
One of them was, it was personal at one point.
Which one had Michael Caine in it?
That's Jaws 4, The Revenge. And the plot was that Ellen Brody, she says, oh, a shark is out to get my whole family. They're all chasing me because it's personal. I know, let's go to a small island in the Caribbean and go swimming.
It's nothing to do with any of the Jaws films.
When actors sit around and talk about taking some job they don't want to do and it's rubbish money, everyone always goes, well, Michael Caine.
Just
throw his name out all the time.
Does anyone know what the film is?
Jaws Will Drop?
No,
it wasn't Jackass. It was Finding Nemo.
Oh.
And that brings us to the end of that round. And the end of the quiz. A tense moment as we find out who our winners are.
With 22 points, valiant effort, Toby's team. With 25 points, a slightly more valiant effort, Jason's team. But with 30 points, the audience...
So the audience win. Toby's team comes last. So, Toby, you and your team now have to go to the front of the stage and lead us all as we finish our Christmas Eve programme in a song chosen by the audience. So it has to be a Christmas Eve song. Mark, can you play pretty much anything?
I'll play it, Sunshine.
Are you ready to lead us in a little Christmas song?
No.
Excellent. So if you'd like to make your way to the front of the stage. Audience, sure. What song would you like us to finish with?
Just... Mistletoe and Wine.
Yes.
Yes, good. Cliff Richard. Christmastime, Mistletoe and Wine. Children singing Christian rhyme.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Oh, it's down to the audience, too. Do you know this one? You have no idea. Do you know Mistletoe and Wine, Jason?
No. Believe me if I did, I wouldn't be saying yes.
So what we have is Mistletoe and Wine. We have Toby's team leading the audience. We need to thank our honourable captains, Jason Isaacs and Toby Jones, Mark Lawson, Boyd Hilton, Joanna Scanlon and Nigel Floyd. Thank you very much indeed for listening. We wish you a very happy Christmas. We're going to finish in traditional style with a Cliff classic being led by Toby Jones. People will join in as they see fit. Thank you very much indeed for listening. This has been the Wittertainment Christmas Quiz. Take it away, Mark, on the piano.
A child is a king, the carolers sing. The old has passed, there's a new beginning. Dreams of Santa, dreams of snow. Faces numb, faces aglow.
All together!
Christmas time, mistletoe and wine. Children singing Christian rhyme. Logs on the fire and gifts on the tree. A time to rejoice in the good that we see.
All together!
Christmas time, mistletoe and wine. Children singing Christian rhyme. Logs on the fire and gifts on the tree. Time to rejoice in the good we see.
Wait, keep going.
Shh. A time for living. A time for believing. I'm enjoying this. A time for trusting and not deceiving. Love and laughter and joy ever after. Ours for the taking, just follow the master.
Doesn't really work that bit, does it? 1, 2, 3!
Christmas time, mistletoe and wine. Children sing.
Thanks for taking the time to download this BBC Radio 5 Live podcast. To find other programmes you might be interested in, click bbc.co.uk/5live, where you'll also find our terms of use.